I tried to get on ride, didn't let me through.
I'll send you an invite. Oh!
Each person's feed on Instagram is a better dating profile than any other dating profile.
Yeah. You're like a celebrity status.
Yeah,
so
I'm not
like,
going crazy in there. Yeah, you know, I'm not dropping water drops and shit. Like, let's go.
Any tips for potential rappers out there, all right?
You just gotta be addicted to it. Yeah. You know, I was truly addicted to freestyling.
Who do you think pulls more, me or him?
Ooh, pulls more. Damn, I don't know. You just got that chest tattoo, though.
Hey, guys, welcome back to the 9 for 9 podcast. I'm your host, Jason King.
Yes, sir.
Joel with my brother, Paulie.
What's good?
And on my left, we got Megan Yu.
Hello.
And then on my left, we got Solo.
Hello.
And today, we're joined by a very special guest.
Our
man of all trades, rapper, Renaissance man right here. Actor. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we got Dumbfounded.
Yes,
right?
Sir. Yeah.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Of course. Before we get started, I know you haven't met us before, so real quick, I just wanted to ask, what are your first impressions of us? Real quick.
I love it. This reminds me of just, you know, hanging out with some Korean friends in K-Town when I was growing up.
Usually
there'd be like a bong here or something.
It'd be
like a Mickey's 40-ounce right there. But it feels very home, you know what I mean? Like, I just walked into the living room, and we're riding into the pod. You know, the shoes off, cut up fruit. Mentioning the cup of water.
This is a family cup.
Water tastes better.
Yeah.
It's like poricha in here? What the hell?
Oh my god.
Also, I wanted to say, it's crazy that you mentioned us on the UTI pod.
I know.
Because I was watching that and then you brought us up. I was like, there's no way Dom knows who we are.
Nah. I just feel like, you know, I'm in the sphere of things on the internet and I just be coming across clips and just seeing, you know, new generation of Asian kids doing stuff, like, that's cool, you know what I mean? It intrigues me, and those are the things that interest me, you know, so.
It's an honor, bro.
Yeah, for real, bro. Much love, man.
It's exciting.
Yeah. 9 for 9, that's the OC area code.
Yeah, it is.
Okay, cool. I wasn't sure for a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, what does 9 for 9 mean? I figured things out. I was like, oh, OC, okay, cool.
Did you ever hang out with, like, OC Asian kids when you were younger?
I think a lot of the OC kids would come to LA.
Right.
And hang out around there, but I would rarely come out here, but I have played UC Irvine.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Like the universities around here. You know, I once monopolized the Korean culture nights and the Asian students. Those shows, you know what I mean? They would always get like an Asian rapper, like some dude doing Bruno Mars covers. Some hip hop choreography dance crew, you know, and some traditional Taekwondo or dance, something like that.
So when did you actually like get to K-Town?
I was born in Argentina, and then my parents moved to Koreatown when I was like 3 years old. So that's pretty much all I know. Like, I have never returned to Argentina or anything. But
From what I know, you're Mr. K-Town. Like, that is your shit.
Nah, man.
The Prince of K-Town.
Let me make it clear. I have never self-proclaimed myself as the mayor or prince of K-Town, because that'd be extremely douchey. I swear to you. It's just a neighborhood that I'm very, you know, proud to have been a part of and raised in, you know what I mean? I think there's something that the neighborhood instilled in me from being a place where, like, you look around, there's Korean signs, there's Korean people, like, it gives you confidence as a Korean person, you know what I mean? That's why I am who I am. Like, I'm never shy or feel like the fish out of water anywhere, you know what I mean? I don't think anyone's more superior than me or nothing, you know, like, I walk with like a confidence because the neighborhood instilled that in me.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I feel you, bro. No, I do got to say, it's like what you were saying about just like seeing other Asians like represent like K-Town and just be like proud of their like Asian history. Being someone young and seeing your like K-Town merch, for example, like the jerseys.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I've never seen no shit like that.
I was going to bring you guys that. I totally forgot now.
That's all good.
When you guys come to my pod.
I'm down. Okay.
Hey, but you can't lie though. Like, you probably get like extra service when you walk around to like all these restaurants in K-Town.
There was a time, you know, it's been a roller coaster, you know what I'm saying? It's like a relevancy. It's like the more I'm relevant, I get service, and then I gotta wait again. Bobby Lee recently roasted me because we go out and eat all the time. Yeah. And he's like, people call you Mary Kay Town, but we're not getting any love around.
Where's the extra kimchi?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, Bobby is like a full-on celebrity.
Yeah, you're not kidding. No love like, Bobby Larry. Well, Bobby
yeah, it's like, too. You know, it's funny because there was, we went to go get ice cream and me and Bobby are eating yeah. and a kid comes and he's like fanning out on both of us. And we have a third friend and he asks the kid like, if you had a chance to just get one autograph, like from one person or a picture, like who would it be?
What'd he say?
And he said me. Uh-huh. But and then Bobby was like fucking pissed. And then we walked out of the ice cream shop and Bobby got like bombarded by 100 people. And he's taking pictures with everybody. Looks over at me. He's like, don't ever fuck with me again. It was the most funniest shit ever. But yeah, Bobby's a full on celebrity now. That's crazy.
Dude, that is crazy. Yeah. Like mentioning Bobby, I did see you talked about you and Bobby hopping on Raya.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, y'all still doing that together?
We were shooting a movie together and we're talking about dating apps and how we've never done dating apps.
Yeah,
this
yeah,
was
yeah.
over a little bit over a year ago. And mm-hmm. until a little bit over a year ago, I had never done dating apps and he hadn't either.
Right.
And we were just on set and we joined every dating app. Like Bumble, Hinge, Raya, Tinder, the premium, you know what I mean? We bought the premium joint. Like you get their social security number, their address. No. We just got the max thing and you know, I think like both of us, we just get like so compulsive, you know, yeah. obsessive yeah, yeah. and stuff, and we just like we went all in and did our whole thing, but it's been interesting. Yeah.
Okay. So you said you did that for a movie?
No. We were on the set. Oh. We were just killing time through this.
Oh, yeah. We're just having fun with it.
What was your favorite of all the apps?
You know what? I feel like Raya is like this like bubble, like a fantasy world of LA. You know,
right. I tried to get on Raya, didn't let me through.
I'll send you an invite. Oh!
It's not a big deal. It's like, yeah, I just feel like it's like the Erewhon of, you know, what I mean, dating apps.
For
like,
sure.
But I feel like Raya, the demographic is pretty limited.
It is.
Yeah, I've heard pretty shitty things about Raya.
I haven't ran into too many Asian women on there.
Predominantly white.
There's a lot of white girls on there. But, you know, I didn't really grow up dating many white girls. So this is like a whole new world for me.
Yeah.
Whole new world.
But on the other dating apps, though, like, don't they think like you're catfishing or they think it's you for real?
No, I'm pretty chill. I mean, I'm real about who I am on there. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? But I haven't really been active. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I don't think it gets any weird territory.
Yeah.
I'm just on there mostly browsing like a window shopper. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Candy, I feel you.
Yeah. And then we'll match up. And usually like there's not much going on even in the convo there.
Yeah.
Like we just match and I'm just like, oh. I don't want to go like, hey.
I totally feel that.
You got Johnny Park on there or Dumb on there?
Johnny Park. Johnny Park.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's cool.
But yeah, I don't know. I don't know what my new approach to dating will be at this point in my life. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I feel like even dating apps are kind of on its downfall.
Is
it? Like.
Really?
I think so. I think it's now more about like the DMs or like
Instagram.
I've heard people are more prone to just wanting to meet in person or these encounters, you know?
It's always been about the DMs. It's always been about the DMs. I mean, I feel like each person's feed on Instagram is a better dating profile than any other dating profile.
100%.
Yeah.
Get to see what they're about, if they're cheesy with their captions or whatever.
Stories, you know.
Yeah,
I would say though, I feel like you have to be careful with DMs because you're like a celebrity status.
Yeah,
so
I'm not
like,
going crazy
in
there.
Yeah, you know,
I'm not dropping water drops and shit. Like, let's go. You know what
not
I'm saying?
Water drop emoji.
What do you think I'm doing in there? You know, going nuts. Like, nah. You know.
Yeah.
No, the classic approach, you know what I'm saying? That bagel looks delicious. You know? Just a safe joint.
Okay,
like,
okay,
what kind of bagel is that?
Story swipe up kind of guy.
Oh, the story, is that a genre of guys?
No.
Okay.
No, that's how you do
that's
it.
Like how the,
that's how you do it.
That's the way to slant
his DM.
I'm very subtle, very subtle.
Oh, just drop a like on that story. That's all you need.
The like?
Yeah.
But then they start seeing dumbfounded like and everything. They're like, this motherfucker really be out here like Diplo or some shit, you know? Just out here, just liking everything.
So are you like in the, like open to dating right now? Is that like?
Yeah, I mean, I'm open to it, but I'm not actively seeking it. But yeah, of course, I'm out here and, you know, I was out here a lot more back in the day. But
Oh, really?
Chilling now and, you know, I'm open to it. Yeah.
I wanted to kind of ask, like, what is your type? Like, how has your type changed over time? Because, like, I also saw somewhere, like, do you like the Korean woman? Like, you know, those very Korean?
The Korean woman.
Like the traditional.
Yeah, so they're speaking to you in Korean.
It's not my, like, top preference. Yeah. Like, I don't even like the aesthetic of how they post pictures.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. The crazy filter, the bright. Yeah. That's not my. That's like a whole genre, and there's a lot of similarities. It's like there's not many imperfections. Like, I like something different. Like, give me a mole. Like, give me a freckle somewhere, for God's sakes. Tell me no freckles.
For real.
What's going on?
For real.
Give me a mole and a mohair or something. just something.
Mohair.
Yeah, I don't know. Just throw me something, like an imperfection. Like, I don't know. That's not my style.
Right.
You
same,
know?
Same, same.
Yeah, something more real.
Yeah. I do like a little more real, you know, goofy, funny. That's my genre. I don't think I have a type necessarily specifically, like, looks-wise.
Right. Mm.
But, I mean, if there was look wise, just a little bit nerdy, like hipster kind of vibes.
Bro.
Yeah, give me some like thick frame glasses. Maybe red. Let's spice it up. Who knows? You know, she might be a secretary. Who knows? Or a creative director. We don't know. One of those, a librarian or a creative director. We don't know. Yeah. Collect, but I would say, like, if you lined them up, like, it was like a mugshot thing, like, there would be no pattern of a style, I would say.
Right.
Who knows? I don't know.
Do you think it's changed throughout the years a lot, or has it been pretty consistent?
Yeah, I used to, you know, actively, if the girl was cute, then I'd be like, oh, but, you know, now before I even jump the gun, I have to see, like, what they're about. You know what I mean?
100%.
Because, like, they could be attractive, but that'll take you a month of fun, you know, and after that, it'll just start getting crazy, annoying, and just there's no, you know, nothing like similarity or nothing. That makes it tougher, I think. Yeah,
for sure. Well, I also wanted to say, like, I know you mentioned back in the day used to be like more wild, a little more out there.
Yeah, I was out here in these streets. I was outside like Bear Grylls. I was out here. Yeah.
But you got any stories from those days that you could share with us maybe?
Stories?
Yeah. Come on. There's got to
be
one.
Well, here's the thing. I was just out here. I mean, I think my parents were constantly working at a very young age, you know, at like long hours, and they had their own problems within each other. So me and my sister, we just constantly was able to go out really late, you know, at the age of like 12, 13, we were out in these streets. And like, I think we could have gotten into a lot of trouble, which we did. But obviously, I discovered music. Mm-hmm. My sister ended up getting married, having a kid. Mm-hmm. Like, we're lucky for that. But we definitely partied a lot, got into drugs really early, drinking and all of that. It was a fun time because I think early 20s, I started getting known in the battle rap world.
Yeah.
And then I think the Asian community started rocking with me because I was like a little bit of an outsider in the Asian community. Even though I was from Koreatown, I hung out with mainly Latinos, you know.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden, like, Asian kids was like, oh, you're holding it down for us, big dog.
You know?
Like, and that only happened because of battle rap, because there weren't Asian kids battle rapping.
Definitely,
you know,
not,
so they'd see me and be like, oh, he's like repping for us,
which
wasn't necessarily what I was planning to do, but it naturally became that way, and it meant a lot to me. You know, I'm like, oh, this is bigger than just hip hop and rap.
Wow.
You know?
For sure.
So,
no, I want to.
Oh. Go ahead.
No, I just want to take it back because I think the very first time I ever saw you was you against Conceited.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
King of the Dot. I wanted to ask you, like, because you're literally up there for like 30 minutes going like three rounds back to back.
Yeah.
Like, what is your, like, you gotta like forget some lyrics, like, what's, you know what
like,
I mean?
Is it like really like you're just spitting like nothing, like, or do you have something prepared?
Yeah,
prepared.
Now in the modern day, there's more preparation. You know, back in the day, it was more freestyle. Like, if you watch 8 Mile with Eminem, that's obviously like people sign up and then they call your name, and then you battle each other, so you don't know who you're battling.
Yeah.
Now it's more like a boxing match where they have a card, like, these two people are battling, and you do prepare for each other.
You do.
And then you squeeze in, like, some space to freestyle, too.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Because
anything could pop up. You might notice something that you might want to use.
Yeah.
But that battle was definitely special, you know, because that was commissioned by Drake, you know.
So
Drake like literally, you know, paid both of us to battle each other. Drake's pit bulls just fighting each other or something, you know. He was like, here's some money. I was like, okay Drake, anything for you.
Yeah. That's crazy. Oh my god.
Yeah, it was a good experience. One thing I noticed about those rap battles though, I feel like it's hard to not cross that boundary between like being too offensive versus just like kind of joking, you know what I mean? Because you kind of go at the other person. So how do you like,
I mean, everybody has their approach.
Yeah.
I think I'm a little bit less of an offensive guy. Yeah. I'm more like, let's all laugh at this guy together.
Right.
You know, yeah. The other dudes are just like in your fucking
face. Dude, they're offensive.
I have homies, my boy Disaster, who is like just rude. He's just disrespectful. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, he's a friend of mine. I've battled him too, but this motherfucker has come out dressed as a Buddhist monk. Said the most racist shit.
Nah.
And the fun, ironic thing about him is like, he loves Asian culture. He knows everything about anime. I don't know as much, you know? So in the comments, everyone's like, Disaster, you're racist, blah, blah, blah. But like, I know him and he's just like, he loves Asian culture.
Yeah.
So it is a sport, you know. We 100%. Do shake hands afterwards, and you got to have thick skin for it, you know.
100%.
I have a question, like, with rapping, did you like kind of grow into it? Like, how did you know that you wanted to like start rapping, you know?
Yeah, I think when I was about like 12, 13 years old, I was just running around the streets of LA and got involved in all types of stuff, whether it was graffiti or breakdancing and DJing. So I tried like all elements of hip hop, and I was like, I think I'm going to do MCing because everything else is tiring, you know? Like breakdance. Yeah, not that, you know, MCing is easy, but I think I was a little bit more, that was like where my gift was, you know?
Yeah.
In class, I was the class clown.
Okay.
I was talking ass up all the time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So rap made sense, you know? And then I just started going to parties, freestyling all the time. And once I start freestyling in a cypher, always somebody says some sly shit about me being Asian.
Of course, yeah.
It's like, you know, everyone knows that experience.
Yeah.
Someone might say some dumb shit.
Yeah.
And then it turned into a battle, you know? I was just trying to freestyle and have fun. But somehow something always turns into a battle. And that's how I got into battling, was just like, it was a defense mechanism first, you know?
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so.
Okay.
Do you think freestyling is like a God-given talent, or you think you can like work on it?
No, you could work on it. It's a muscle.
Because like, I know I'd be trying to rap and shit. That shit's hard, bro. I be like sitting down writing for hours. I get two lines out.
You gotta just let it flow, man.
It's God-given, bro.
I truly believe it is something you can work on, and it's a muscle. Like, I used to freestyle all the time, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I'm driving, if I was driving from LA to OC, I'd just be on the freeway rhyming about the 10 and 110, looking at billboards, rhyming whatever the fuck. Farmers insurance. And then I think I slowly kind of stopped doing that, and my muscle got a little weaker for freestyle. It is a muscle. You got to work it out.
It is, yeah.
Do you ever feel like you get tired of, like, the main, I guess, content being about your Asianness? When you're rapping, like, does that ever bother you? Like, you know what I mean? Like, battling.
No, I mean, my content, I would say, you know, when I first started, a lot of people was like, he's like one of the best Asian rappers, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, the natural thing for Asian artists is like, I don't want to be the best Asian rapper. I want to be the best.
Right.
Yeah.
But I think that's a wrong mentality. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to understand that it is a huge part of your identity that you can't escape.
Mm-hmm.
You hop on stage, no matter what you guys do, like individually, they will see that big part of your face is right there. You're an Asian person. So before you even say anything out of your mouth, that is already a big part of your identity.
Right.
And I stopped kind of escaping from it at one point. I decided to lean into it. And I realized it is important. Like, it is a big part of who I am.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And it doesn't have to always be about my content.
Right.
But you got to understand that's attached to you no matter what.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
And the truth is, like, no one wants to rock with anybody who's not proud of who they are.
True.
Nobody.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You could be, like, the hardest, whatever. I mean, to be honest, Eminem, people always reference Eminem, right? He's like a white rapper who's transcended race and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But the truth is, he's talked about his whiteness so many times.
Right.
He talks about being a white trailer trash dude from 8 Mile.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So people forget that, like, that is a big part of his identity.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm. That's an interesting point, because me and Jason, like, so he started the podcast, right? But we had those thoughts in the beginning where it's like, should we kind of, like, focus our energy towards the Asian community specifically, right, or broaden ourselves and go, like, with everyone, you know, like, multiple mm-hmm. races? But, like, we kind of thought that it was better to, like, focus on everyone versus yeah. just the Asians.
I mean, I'm not saying it's... I think that's fine. I think you should focus on a broader audience. Yeah. You know yeah. what I'm saying? It's just that... Just don't forget that that's what you're coming in with. Your right. perspective and your upbringing mm-hmm. is right. important to what that voice is going to be when you talk to people outside of the community, too. Right. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, yeah, you should think bigger. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
No, because it's just hard to balance, we found. The middle ground between, like, focusing on the Asian community specifically, or, like, yeah. like we'll bring on, like, a white guy, for example, and all the comments, like, yo, who's this white guy? I'm like,
yo. They can't relate.
Yeah, I'm like, no, people are racist.
Low-key. The Asian part is already here. Right. You know yeah. what I'm saying? Yeah. You don't need to add, like, adding one more Asian person. They're not going to be like, oh, finally, it's more Asian. Like, yeah. it's already hella Asian. Yeah. You know what I'm yeah. saying? Mm-hmm. So you're already bringing that perspective. I don't think you need to stick to anything.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, mm-hmm. I think it's already a powerful thing that you guys have, like, four Asian co-hosts, mm-hmm. you know?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, don't listen to me, though.
No, I'm taking that advice for sure, bro.
Who are some of the rappers or musicians, like, you looked up to while you were growing up?
When I was growing up, honestly, I was lucky because I had peers that mm-hmm. were amazing. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. when I was coming up in the LA music scene, we already had, like, all these people who are big now, whether it's, like, Anderson .Paak, Doja Cat, yeah. and Staples, were all friends. We were freestyling, you yeah. know what I mean?
Oh. Wow. So Doja Cat was
yeah,
freestyling.
Doja Cat was a regular freestyle rapper, like, amongst all our friends, rapping yeah. the same parties, Vince, too, and then Anderson, obviously. I've been friends with him for a long time. But
yeah.
all these people you see that are, like, some of the top hip-hop musicians of this generation, like, they're all just, like, regular dudes right. in the local scene yeah, that yeah. eventually went off and did some incredible things and blew up. Like, mm-hmm. and that's going to be the same thing for all of y'all. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Yeah. Everybody you're around and your peers and stuff, yeah. like, they're going to be the next big thing. You guys, mm-hmm. you know, that's all it is. So I don't think anyone should ever chase, like, somebody who's on a higher status or who they think could take them there. You know, yeah. your peers mm-hmm. are the next greats,
wow.
you know?
I love that too.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Well, if I remember correctly, you've had the content with Doja Cat way back in the day, no?
Yeah, yeah. I had a show called The Hot Box.
Yeah.
This was over 12 years ago.
Yeah.
I would interview artists inside my car. Hotboxed.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah. This
was
before James Corden and all that shit.
Carpool karaoke.
Yeah, yeah.
You're the OG.
Yeah, yeah. So I would interview artists inside the car, and right. then they'd perform a song inside yeah. the car. So that was Doja's, like, first ever interview. Anderson was on there. There was, like, tons of underground artists back in the day
right.
that were really, you know, Thurs and all these cats who were really big. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, so that was a cool. We did, like, about 55 episodes, when, like, I would say half of the artists that were on that shit, you know, are still doing crazy.
They're huge. Yeah, they're huge.
So it's pretty dope.
There's kind of jokes, but, like, I just wanted to ask, because also Doja Cat, a lot of people say these days there's, like, something up with Doja Cat. Have you heard those rumors?
I mean, I don't know anything about that. I just know she was incredibly talented even yeah. back then.
Mm. Oh,
you know,
wow.
like she was
like a dancer as well.
She just was
incredible.
She does everything.
She was just very talented early on too.
Okay. Okay.
Like, mm-hmm. there was no doubt about that. I think everyone knew that she was special even yeah. then.
Yeah. Oh, really?
I think her biggest thing was that she just didn't care what people thought about, like, her music, too. I feel like, so she brought out, like, the first songs that I heard of hers were very, like, I don't know, not regular, and that's what I really liked about her as well.
Yeah, yeah. She had, like, So High back in the day. That was, like, one of her first songs. And then I know the viral thing that put her on was the Cow song thing.
The mm. moves.
Yeah, but yeah. even before that song, locally, everyone knew she was gifted.
Yeah.
yeah. I see.
I love that.
Okay.
I mean, last thing about rapping.
Yeah.
Any tips for potential rappers out there, right?
You just gotta be addicted to it.
Yeah.
You know,
addicted to
I
it?
Was truly addicted to freestyling.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like, I was just, any party I'd go, there'd be girls all around, but I'm like, I'm just gonna rap right here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm in the cypher for, like, hours. My homies was like, let's go talk to some girls. But
yeah.
I was like, no, I'm getting lyrical over here. You know, so I was truly just addicted to freestyling, rapping, you know, making songs. I don't know. I think that's all it is. You just got to you gotta really love it.
Yeah, love the craft.
You know?
Yeah.
I always feel like rappers are also like poets. Like, you guys are, it goes beyond just flowing and the rhythm. It's like I feel like with your, there's so much layers of like social commentary. It's like satire.
Yeah.
So many
things. It's just, it's hard to balance out like what you want to say in rap. You know, when I was younger, I think I didn't really want to say much. You know, I wanted to just kind of be ignorant and just party and stuff. And it's hard too because I'm older now and I want to make more songs, but I don't want to make like adult rap all the time. I don't want to make responsible joints. Yeah. But if I make like turn up joints, they're like, this motherfucker's in his 30s talking about this stupid shit. So you'll get criticized. So it's a tough balance. Nowadays, I'm definitely putting a lot of my creativity into different mediums because of that, I would say.
Mm. Okay. That's interesting. So you're basically saying like it's only cool to do it when you're young.
No, no, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that. No, because a lot of artists got, I mean, Andre 3000 did an interview recently that kind of got him criticized a little bit because he was talking about being older now in this point in his life and he feels like he doesn't have much to say. And I think a lot of rappers who are in their older age kind of got mad about that because they're like, look at me, I'm like out here, I'm still doing it, I'm still sharing stories and all that. And they are, they're incredible storytellers and all that. For me, it's more about like an energy thing, like where I like the energy of saying ratchet shit and getting turned up on stage. And it is a little bit harder to see myself because I'm not in that mentality, though, you know.
Right.
But I do miss that energy on stage doing that, you know. So it's a balance. I don't know. I'm still trying to figure it out again. Yeah.
It's interesting. I mean, you do like so much stuff, man. We were researching you, man. You're an actor, producer, stand-up comedian,
podcaster, all types of stuff.
Jack of all trades, master of none.
No, but I wanted to ask, like, what has been your favorite experience out of all those?
You know, luckily everything that I do work with each other, you know, like stand-up comedy is something I implemented to my battle rap, right? And even when I was performing a lot and doing my songs, in between songs is where I would test out stand-up bits, you know, so going into stand-up wasn't as hard. It didn't feel new to me, you know, so everything kind of coincides with each other. But stand-up is kind of like my newest joy that's something fresh and I still get nervous about. And I think when you feel nervous again, it's a good thing. You know, I'm like, finally, this is a new experience that I'm excited about every time before hitting the stage. That writing screenplays is something that's exciting to me, just creating a world like line by line. And you know, so I think filmmaking is something that I see myself doing, you know, next. So that's like kind of the next venture.
Behind the scenes.
Yeah, like directing.
Okay.
That is really cool. Well, I also wanted to ask, because I know you do a podcast as well.
Yeah.
So I wanted to ask, like, you have crazy guests on there. Like, it's just insane. But like, who's been your favorite guest that you've had on your pod?
My favorite guest.
Favorite episode you shot.
You know, honestly, I really do love the episodes just with my longtime running co-hosts, Rick and Steffi, because you just kind of build a relationship. Like, you guys know, right? Like, and you just get deeper and deeper, and you're willing to share a lot more. Far as like guests, of course, like Bobby is like one of the top guests of all time.
So funny,
because
yeah.
Bobby is like any mic he touches, there's just comedy gold.
He's so funny.
And he's the type who will be willing to go there. There's not a lot of people who's willing to go there. Like, he will go so far that you feel uncomfortable. And it's your show. You know?
I, like, went to a comedy show for the first time just to see Bobby Lee recently.
And
it's hilarious.
He's out there.
He's so out there.
He is. I don't think there's any Korean person on the planet like Bobby. He is a complete alien, like alien, bro.
No, damn, bro.
How did you meet your co-host?
Steffi's an actress. She's an actress and a model. And Rick, I've known over 15 years. He's a incredible rapper. I would arguably say he's the best Asian rapper possibly of all time.
Damn.
Like, oh shit.
But like, you know, he's not out there as much right now because he just had a kid and everything. But that dude is the next level, you know. So we grew up like being kind of rivals. He's from the East Coast, I'm from the West Coast. And we were at the time like some of the bigger Asian rappers, so we were like always just trying to out rap each other.
So y'all went from beefing to being co-hosts.
Exactly.
How did that kind of come about? Like, was it your idea that you pitched to them?
I think it was COVID. Like COVID, it was harder to get guests during COVID time.
Sure.
So I was like, who can I hit up that can just be reliable every week?
Yeah.
And you know, if we get COVID, then we know who we got it from. But, like, so that's kind of how that happened.
Yeah.
It was a time where you couldn't really get guests, right. You know? So that's how, and then after a while we were like, we should just keep this going. You know, it's okay. A good vibe. And we got really personal and like kind of our upbringings, and definitely started having more of these nuanced conversations about growing up Korean and stuff that I think people really kind of related to. So.
For sure. Yeah.
Are they about to be there next week? Because I love Bob Ross, man.
Yeah.
Like, that's my content right there.
Yeah. I definitely hit up Rick. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure. Okay. Damn. Well, I wanted to ask, like I said earlier, you have so many different guests on. And like, I'm so like, I respect that so much. So I wanted to ask, like, how are you so connected with all these people?
I mean, really just being old, you know?
Really just through the years?
No, I swear to God, that's really what it is. Right. It's like, if you've just been in the game for hella long, then you're going to be friends with tons of people who've gone off to do interesting things.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's just naturally going to happen. You too, you know, you guys, in the next 10, 20 years are going to have tons of friends that do crazy shit, like a rocket scientist here, this guy was a comedian, that. Like, you're just going to build that network naturally, you know what I'm saying? Like, so I think, luckily, that's what's happened for me is like I just have a huge network of friends,
That's what it is. Okay.
That just do interesting things, and all my first guests have been that, just personal connections.
It almost seems like every time someone big from Korea comes to the U.S., they're hopping on your pod, bro.
Oh yeah,
Jay Park, Jesse, any of them, bro. Like.
Yeah, I've been back and forth in Korea for the last 15 years. So
oh really?
I have a lot of friends. Like the first time I went to Korea, I was 21 years old. And
first time.
Yeah, I never grew up going on like summer trips. Yeah. I didn't have a lot of family out there.
Yeah, same.
So the first time I went was 21 for a show, and it was on the lineup was like Drunken Tiger, Epic High, Dynamic Duo, and me. And it was like at the time, this was before Show Me the Money or anything.
Right,
and there were only like 5 rappers. I swear to God. So
small hip hop scene.
Yeah, very small. And so I went out there and I'm literally on the lineup with all the top dudes.
They're huge. Yeah.
And so that was my first time. I was like, wild ass Kilpo kid, you know, getting into fights and fell in love with some girl, extending my flight 3 weeks. All types of shit. You know, this is like the classic Kilpo kind of trip, you know,
right.
You go there and you have a lot of fun, you're getting wasted with other Kilpo kids from all around the world.
Mm-hmm.
Some Kilpo Australian kid, British kid, some dude from Germany and shit. So it was a good experience, and since then I've been going every year, being involved in the hip hop community. I've known Jay Park for like 15 years, we go way back.
And you met him because of that one concert?
That was a funny story, because this is how I met him. So Jay gets kicked out of 2 p.m. back in the day.
Right.
Do you remember this?
Yeah, he comes back.
So he gets kicked out of his boy group, and a lot of people know this history, obviously.
Yeah. Why did he get kicked out?
He got kicked out because he was like a really young kid, and he commented on his MySpace Korea's whack or something.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't
so
know
stupid.
That.
I didn't
and,
know
you know,
that.
It's like very nationalistic, the country.
Yeah.
People, he was getting backlash on the internet that caused the label to force him out, So he flies out back to Seattle, his hometown, in the airport in Korea. This girl's crying.
Oh my God, the whole family.
We love you. He gets kicked. He goes back to Seattle and he starts his YouTube channel.
Yeah.
And he on his YouTube channel, he follows like 3 accounts, and one of the accounts is mine. So obviously, all his fans are like looking like, and they hit me up like, yo, dumb, Jay Park's following you. I'm like, who the fuck is Jay Park? I'm Jay Park too, like Johnny Park.
Oh, yeah.
I was confused. I asked my mom. She's like, of course I know Jay Park. I'm like, what the fuck, mom? So I hit him up, because I'm like, oh, this dude's big. I should probably do something with this.
Yeah.
He does like one, Bruno Mars cover in his bathroom, gets like 5 billion views.
I know.
So I hit him up. And I was like, yo, if you're ever in town, you connect. So he comes to LA, and then we connect. We do like a YouTube collaboration, and then become friends. And since then, we've just been good friends. Yeah.
That's awesome.
So he started following you because of like your battle rap
stuff. Yeah.
Okay. How's the love out there in Korea? the fan base.
It's cool. I mean, it was a, back in the day, it was a lot more because I think I was one of the few Asian rappers. Mm. Now it's like they got so many of their own stars, like thousands of new kids. Every year there's new stars popping on. You know, Korea, what it's become is pretty incredible. I always like wake up every day, like look at American pop culture and see the Korean, you know, and I'm like, ranks. I'm always just so baffled, you know, that you can turn on the radio and hear like Jungkook or BTS doing, you know, it's pretty fascinating if you think about it, you know.
A part of me though, I am a little, not sad, but I feel like there's so much hip hop culture in Korea that also isn't getting the light. It's so much overshadowed by the K-pop. Culture, which I think there's so much more subtleties in Korean music that like don't get to be shown on the light.
Well, I think even beyond just the music, there's, you know, obviously in cinema too. There's masters of like film and art and everything, but people are starting to get more love and people are seeing Korea as a wider landscape of influence than just music, I think. Like when Parasite won, that was like a huge thing.
That was huge.
Because, you know, Bong Joon-ho was like a legit director already in Korea. So we're getting a lot more love in different areas that I think is exciting. You know?
What do you think about the Korean rap scene? Compared to like...
They're dope. They're dope. They're hard, like, I mean, the way Koreans... study some shit is next level.
For sure.
Like it's like they go to Rap Hagwon. You know what I mean? Like Rap Academy, bro.
I noticed in Korea they literally got like the same American version, but like a Korean guy. So they got like a Korean Cardi.
Similar flows out there. I don't know.
Korean motherfuckers be going to school on Saturday. So like it's like imagine that, but in the studio, you know? So they really be going crazy, and obviously that's why K-pop has worked. Like they do years of training before launching, you know, so they have really figured out what works, so they know what works when it launches.
I want to talk about the stand-up part, because I feel like that's so nerve-wracking, like getting up on stage and you're like almost forced to be funny. Like how do you, you know what I mean?
They don't have a gun to my head, you know what I mean? it's hard.
Which one was like worse, like more nerve-wracking, like battle rapping or stand-up?
Ooh, I think both are incredibly nerve-wracking. I got to really hand it to battle rappers, because you got to understand. So say you prepare a whole month for your opponent, right? And you write all this stuff. After you go and you face your opponent and you say all those things, you can't use that material again. Like, who would you use? You can't repeat the same shit against a different opponent. Stand-up comedians, you're working out your material. You're saying it over and over again in the different shows. You know, you're not
seeing what works.
Yeah, you don't do new material every show as a stand-up comedian. So battle rappers, that's the one thing I would say. You cannot ever use the material again.
That is true.
You gotta write a whole new hour special, you know, like when you see a comedian with a 1 hour special, that's material they've been working on for years. You know,
and they go to different cities and say it again.
They're working it out, tweaking things. With battle rap, once you get that material out, which is your 1 hour special, you're done. You gotta write a whole other and you can't. It's hard. You can't even really test it out. You could test it out to like a handful of your homies, but doesn't mean they're the general consensus of the whole population.
No, I see you spitting and you like wait for the audience, and sometimes they don't react the way you want
to. Hell no. I'm like, this is where you're supposed to react.
They're a little slow.
Tough. And you can't do nothing about it. That's, you just got to deal with that. Yeah. That bombing moment, you know?
Yeah. Have you ever had like any embarrassing moments on the stand-up stage?
Oh, yeah. With stand-up, you're going to bomb regularly. You have to get comfortable with things not getting a laugh. And that's when you become a good stand-up, you know. I'm trying out. Like, I come into that craft very humbly. You know, I haven't been doing it forever. Only last few years or whatnot, like more seriously. But coming into it, like... I'm trying out new things. Things aren't working a lot of times. And I'm up there like, oh, this is fucking brutal. But you got to be able to kind of feel comfortable or look like you're not affected by it. That's all it is. That's what entertainment is. It's like looking like you're not phased. You know what
Fake
I'm saying?
It till you make
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but it's also easier for you because you have the experience on stage, right?
Yeah, stage experience-wise, I do feel a lot more comfortable just being on stage. And that's from... rap performances, mm-hmm. I tested out bits in between, you know, yeah. like I would do a song and in between I'm talking to the crowd.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So that helped a lot jumping into that field.
Yeah. I feel like it's, as a viewer of stand-up comedy, I feel like if it's not funny, I love the joke that comes after when they comment on the room.
They're like,
that's funny.
Yeah, they're like, oh, that didn't work.
Exactly, ooh,
hey,
exactly.
Let's go on to the next show.
Wait, where did you do your stand-up? Was it in L.A.?
In L.A., I've done some shows in New York, mm-hmm. but I haven't toured it yet. I'm not nowhere near where I'm ready for that. This year, I decided to really just focus on that. Right now, I'm on a writer's room for like a big show that I'm working on. So that's all I'm doing right now. It's weird. I feel very blessed that I get to do a little bit of everything, you know?
Go ahead.
Do you have like a specific like creative routine that you get into before you like write down your thoughts on?
Yeah, I write all my jokes in the cold plunge. Nah. I did hear an episode where someone's cold plunging.
Oh, yeah.
You're plunging?
Yes, sir.
Plunging out here.
So I'm
okay,
on that
cold plunge gang.
Yep.
Nah, I got into it this past year. I fucking love it, bro.
I love it, bro. I'm putting all the homies on.
I'm so addicted to it.
Yeah.
I go to Jason's once in a while to do it, too. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah. How long are you in there?
3 minutes.
3 minutes.
No, she's doing three.
Yeah, she's doing three.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I mean, that's
what temperature you at the water?
I forget. I think it's like somewhere like 40.
40, yeah.
40, something.
That's
like
a sweet spot right
it
there.
It is, right?
Yeah.
Ours is a little ghetto, though. We got to get the ice bags, you know?
Oh,
we don't
guys,
have the cooling.
Yeah. Damn. We on a budget, so we get in the ice bags every morning, yeah.
It's better than getting it for, like, alcohol. You know, getting healthy. I feel like this generation is probably a lot more health conscious.
Oh, very health conscious.
Would you say?
Yeah.
Wellness. Wellness.
Are you guys big on your wellness? Like, what's your age ranges here? Like, what do you guys?
I'm 24.
24,
23,
so, 26.
So, all around like the early to mid 20s. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, I was not health conscious at that age. Yeah. I didn't get like workout mode until like 3 years ago, you know? So, it's very new to me.
Okay. Oh, I see.
I was like, nah, my brain is buff. You know? Why do I gotta work out? My brain is toned. So I got really health conscious the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. I haven't drank in like a year and 3 months or something.
No, congrats. Wow. I saw that. You like intentionally plan to be sober, right?
Yeah. I just did a movie that's coming out in like 3 weeks.
Saw that. Yeah.
With Johnny Knoxville, Dio Vaughn, Bobby Lee, Mo Amer, Gata from
Crazy
Dave,
Squad,
a bunch of people. So,
damn.
And the movie's about a recovery home, like a bunch of addicts who live in this house getting better and stuff. And they form bond over like a softball team. And so it's like kind of a sports movie.
Quirky.
Yeah, it's like Bad News Bears meets rehab. You know?
I love it.
That sounds great, though.
Yeah, it was good. But right, everybody on that movie was all like recovering addicts, you know? The director, it's based on his life.
I see.
Johnny, Theo, Bobby, they all go to it. Like, they're all recovering, too.
Yeah.
So they kind of inspired me. So right after we wrapped on that movie, I stopped doing everything.
Wow.
Oh, after
I cut out everything. And then it was one of the best decisions I made in my life, you know? So it was hard, like the first. Yeah, it was hard. The first, whatever.
Like cold turkey on everything.
Everything.
Damn.
Wow.
Yeah.
Damn.
Were you like smoking? Or?
I was on everything.
Everything.
I mean, for
everything.
A long time, for like, you know, a lot of my life, I was just always in. There was times I've lost control, but for the most part, I was a very functioning addict in a way. Mm. You know, I was still getting mad shit done,
right.
You know, but I just wasn't optimal.
Yeah.
You know, but if I'm hung over or on a bender, I will still always catch a flight. Like, I have never missed a fucking flight.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I will just zombie my way through the gate somehow. Yeah.
Okay.
What got you into the workout phase?
I don't know. That kind of came out of nowhere. There was no specific decision, mm-hmm. but I just wanted to train. And so I started training. And as I was training, too, that's when I just realized I have to cut out a bunch of stuff because I can't become a gym hungover and stuff.
Right.
Wait,
so what's changed now? Like, how do you feel
Oh, I feel fantastic. Well, the cold plunge and the sauna, you know, I think
I love the sauna as well. Yeah,
I must have gotten to my final like Super Saiyan Ajushi mode. Yeah. High temperatures, whether cold or hot, I love that shit. You know, so I do sauna and like for like 20-30 minutes, and then go into the cold plunge for like 3 to 5.
Yeah,
then,
no steam room.
Yeah, well, that's the sauna.
That's the sauna.
So it's been great, life changer for sure. Okay.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to take it back to the movie you were talking about. Yeah. Like, how was that filming? Like, that cast is hilarious. You, Bobby, Theo Vaughn. Like, that's a squad. I can't imagine.
Yeah, it's Theo's first movie.
Okay.
He's never done a movie, so that's exciting. And obviously, Theo is just like killing it.
He's
on
killing
the internet.
It right now.
He really is like a figure that everyone sees on the internet. Bobby has done tons of movies, so he's an OG. Obviously, Johnny Knoxville. Like, I grew up idolizing Jackass, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, me and homies, we're pretending to be, like, Jackass back in the day. Like, you know what I'm like, we're the Asian Jackass. Like, nah, fam. Like, you gotta do some more hardcore shit than that. But it was a fun experience. Overall, and I think I'll always remember the movie because it is the last time that, you know, I was fucking with alcohol and substances and stuff, so it'll be like this memory ingrained in me because I look at myself in the movie too, and I just look like I'm still doing this. But it worked for the movie, I guess, you know, because it's about addicts, you know. So, but that's the memory that I always have. So,
can you talk more about your role in the movie?
I'm just one of the guys in there, you know, who each individual is dealing with different, you know, different kinds of substance abuse, and I don't think I need to go into too much. It's just like each person has their own little story. It doesn't dive into everyone's story, but it's great. Yeah.
Wait, when does it come out though? Real quick.
April 12th in theaters, and April 16th digitally everywhere. You can
I'm gonna go check that out. Yeah, y'all go check that out, bro.
It's called Sweet Dreams.
That seems like a funny ass movie.
Yeah, definitely. It's good. It's funny and very heartwarming. Yeah. So,
are you planning to stay off the alk for like the rest of your life?
I think so, man.
Wow.
There's times that like I really want to party and I'm out and about and I'm like, you can tell everyone's drinking.
Yeah.
Like they feel they're in the same world and I'm like on the outside a little bit. Mm-hmm. And that's sometimes I get the itch, you know.
Yeah.
But then I wake up the next morning, I'm like, oh my God, I'm so glad I didn't drink. Right. You know, I was getting used to the lifestyle of waking up hungover. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I didn't like that. I didn't like that. That was my life, and this is how mornings are now.
No.
You know, it was not a good place. I was also like, I wasn't never like an angry drunk. I was, if anything, the life of the fucking party, you know. But I was also loud as fuck, and I'm in your ear just yelling shit,
yapping,
pitching an app idea or something, whatever, you know, just something. And it was just like I became kind of annoying, in my opinion, you know. So I was like, like this version of myself. So
wait, I gotta ask, like, what were your top three places like you're going out like back
in K-Town, but you know, when I was growing up, I was all over LA. You know, I hung out with like Skater Kids and Echo Park, Silver Lake, and also South Central was where I pretty much honed my craft of rapping. There was like an open mic there that's very special to me called Project Blowed, and Koreatown was like my hub. And then like, you know, White Kids in Hollywood Hills, I'd party with them. I was like partying with like Disney Channel kids when I was that age, you know, Shia and Lindsay Lohan and shit.
Oh shit.
Like, you know, this was like when I was going to high school in the like a very white high school. You know? But I feel like I'm a very Los Angeles kid, you know. I grew up like at like a child of LA. Like LA raised me more than my parents, I would say.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Shout out to my parents. I guess they did the best they could. They did their best. Yeah.
Okay.
But it was a good experience. I was very lucky to have gotten into things that interested me hobby wise.
Yeah.
LA is very interesting because, you know, one bubble you live in could be a neighborhood that's tough and completely separate, and a mile away and you have the Hollywood industry, you know.
Yeah. Right.
And seeing myself dabble in this like entertainment world of Hollywood now is so crazy because like I can go to Hollywood Hills and look down. It's like, that's my neighborhood right there. it's really humbling, you know.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I kind of wanted to take it back to like your origin story because I did some research on you and I think I saw that you were homeless for a little bit when you were younger.
Yeah, well, my parent, my dad was very abusive, like with my mom and us, you know, and he was alcoholic and they had a lot of fights. So when they split up, you know, my dad was just going through his shit and my mom was clearly going through hers. She didn't know how to support herself because she depended on my dad, right? Yeah. Like when they immigrate to this country, she's like the housewife. She wanted to like, she was just playing that role. So she didn't like try to go get jobs or anything. Mm-hmm. So when they split, it was really tough for my mom. And so me and my sister, we were just living on our own when we were teenagers, like around like when I was like 16, 17 and my sister's 2 years younger than me. And we just lived on our own. I dropped out of high school in 10th grade and my parents didn't even know.
Wow.
Yeah. They didn't even know. And if you're Korean and a dropout, you know how crazy that shit is?
It's crazy.
Yeah, there's more people that escape North Korea than drop out of high school. You know what I mean? So it's like, so we did, I drop out and parents don't know for like 2 years because they're going through so much shit between themselves.
Yeah.
And I'm literally just rapping and working shitty jobs, you know? So, but I felt like a king. Like, you know, it's like I did what I loved. I was killing it, like freestyling, battle rapping. But I'd come home broke as hell, but still feel like a king. And I feel
that's
something that's like special. I hope everyone finds, you know, where like money doesn't define like where you are in your status.
100%.
You know, like there'll be times I go out and freestyle, like I'd come home broker than I was when I left the house and I lay in my bed like, oh, I fucking killed it. I'm in a bunk bed with the homie down here like, we killed it today. I think there's something special about that, you know? Those days where you just did something you're so passionate about and you love.
That's crazy, bro. When did you get that first check where you knew like, oh, okay, like I could actually do this for real?
I'm still waiting for that check. Nah. You know, that's a lot of people ask me about like that transition from doing what you love and making a living off of it. Because how does it happen, right? Like it is truly magic to me how that happens for anyone, I feel, right? Like we're all like working jobs and all of a sudden we're like confident enough to quit that job because somehow money's trickling in from this thing that we're doing, whether it's podcasting or music or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like that moment was like crazy. Just one day, I never even thought about quitting my job, you know? Mm-hmm. I was just doing the thing that I love doing and then still working the job to pay rent and all that. But one day I just looked at my pay from what I'm getting here and I'm like, I could totally quit this job. Right. You know what I mean? And it just naturally happened. So I don't know. I tell people like just focus on the shit that you love doing. Don't think about the money. Okay. Someday you'll just wake up and it's like it's fine, you know?
Yeah.
It'll get figured out, but you have to put in 110% into the shit that you love doing for sure.
No, for real.
What age was that like when you like,
I would say it was like early 20s, like maybe 21 or something like that. 20.
That's pretty young. Yeah,
that's young. So I'm lucky because I've been able to do what I love for a really long time. But it was also because I wasn't climbing up a corporate ladder. Like I think it would have been harder for me to quit a nice paying job.
True.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, like it was easy to quit my job at the movie theater. You know? Like peace. Like if I fail at this, I'll see you next month. You know? Like I'll come back. It's an entry level job. I can come back. You know? So.
Oh, I didn't know you was working at the theater.
I was working at the theater. I was working at, you know, restaurants, Jamba Juice at one point. I was out here. I was stealing from my job because look at that first check and I'd be like, this is it. I got to do something. I got to steal, I think.
Yeah.
Damn, bro. I felt like Robin Hood, though, you know. I was stealing from the rich and giving to the poor, which was me. So.
Okay. But I want to talk about podcasting a little bit.
Yeah.
Because obviously you have your podcast, Fun With Dumb.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted to ask, like, how do you feel about, like, Asians kind of, like, hopping on the mic, like, talking, being more open about their sexual stuff?
Yeah.
How do you feel about that?
I mean, I think it's great because obviously the stereotype is that we're quiet and reserved, you know? Mm-hmm. This is cool that people are willing to get raunchy. And anyway, it turns out Asians are hornier than everyone else. There's tons of sex content. Yeah. And talking about sex and relationships and all of that. So I think it's cool. I think it's great. I think it just shows the different sides and aspects to us. I want to even see us even take it even further.
Oh, you know? Okay.
not just speaking about it, but, you know, different types of content and storytelling too, mm-hmm. in film, obviously. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think we're going to see a lot of that. You know, we're having a renaissance right now. Mm-hmm. And I think in mm-hmm. all different areas, whether it's TV, film, music, but also podcasting. So it's kind of exciting that it's all happening at once.
I agree. We're on an Asian rain right now.
Oh, crazy.
I think when we first started. But when we first started, I think we were worried about, like, what our parents would think.
Oh, really?
Because we up and on here talking about, like, you know, how big our dick is and shit. You know what I mean?
You know what I mean?
Your mom comes and she's like, oh, he's lying. No. It's only 3.5. No.
Oh, my God.
Want some chame? Yeah, you know, just walking in.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, but I feel like, because not, you know, Asians don't do that. Like, they don't
before
hop,
they didn't, especially.
Yeah, they don't hop on a mic and say all that. But I feel like, you know, doing it for like 1.5 years now.
Yeah.
I feel like we've gotten a warmer response than what I expected.
That's great. Especially hearing like the older Asian content creators, they'll say like, I wish we could have done that when we were younger. And they find it so interesting because like that's like it was like taboo for them back then, I feel like, to talk about certain things. I mean, of course, there were just like a couple anomalies. Yeah. But I mean,
that is interesting, though, actually, now that I think about it. Yeah. I wonder why just content creators before the podcast wave, not just Asian podcasters, but all podcasters.
Yeah.
Why we didn't just dive into like really raunchy things.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Because we would still be in front of the webcam or whatever, talking and stuff. Yeah. But I don't know why we didn't dive into that.
Yeah.
Was it something that we were afraid of, like, you know, sharing? I don't know.
Yeah.
It just doesn't make sense because we had the tools and
obviously
we were saying things that you wouldn't necessarily put on TV or film, but we weren't talking about like our dicks and shit.
I feel like
like now the generation has become very like hypersexualized. You know what I mean? Like the younger kids, I'm like,
how do you know all of this stuff?
No, I feel you because the feed looks insane. You know what I mean? My explore page looks like a horny vision board.
Yeah.
You know,
it's like,
I got to throw off the algorithm. I'm over here liking art accounts and cooking accounts. Just to trick the algorithm, like a, you know, running away from the Matrix like a perverted Neo. Just like, you know, I'm just trying to throw them off, you know. But I feel you. It is hypersexualized, you know. There's so much stuff going on there. And I think that's the part I don't like.
You
know, like when I was younger, obviously all of us teenagers, there's like pornography and stuff we look up and all that shit. And, you know, things died down a lot, I think. For someone my age, you know, there's less people my age that are regularly looking for content like that. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But now it's like, I don't know. I don't know what the future looks like for people, like teenagers this age when they get older with that content. I don't know if it's going to be better because there's more sex education.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like being discussed, or does it create more of a numbness? Like, I don't know.
It might be that numbness. Yeah. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah,
we're going to need more like,
wild shit.
Yeah,
I don't know. I really don't know. I don't know how that, what that means for the next 20 years.
Or like VR.
VR, that is the future, though. VR, like, even for the sex industry, I think VR is going to be the haptic suits.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. For real?
Like, synced things with your headphones and
Ready Player One.
Yeah. You are going to wear the suits. You are going to, you know, be able to have sex with your girlfriend who's, like, across the country wearing the suit.
Right.
That's crazy, though.
That is crazy.
That is crazy.
Yeah.
Do you have any, like, tips for, like, you know, because obviously we're new into this social media scene. Like, we're new and still new into the podcast scene. Do you have any tips for us and people that want to be podcasters or to be successful?
No, I don't. I mean, I would say just try to bring something to the table that is new, fresh, a conversation that's new and fresh, a perspective that's new and fresh. Podcasting is definitely oversaturated now. We all know that. You know what I mean? We're all in it. I think do share stuff that you personally care about, not what you think people are going to care about. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I personally do not give a shit if I get 100 views to 100,000.
Right.
I want to share and have guests on that I care about. Like, I'm not going to just have a K-pop group on because they're huge.
Yes. Okay.
Because, first of all, you're probably going to get a shitty interview.
K-pop
people can't say nothing. They're not going to talk about, you know, sex.
Yeah. Exactly.
You know what I'm
saying?
They
got to cut everything out.
I've had close to K-pop people on my podcast where they rolled up with like 20 people on their team.
Holy
and
shit.
And I do my shit out of my house.
Yeah.
You know?
Holy shit.
I'm like, God damn, bro. Yeah. I wasn't expecting all this.
Yeah, school bus comes.
Y'all getting too comfortable over here. But yeah, I truly, truly think it has to be things you care about. Mm. You know, I don't do pods for money, or I don't make much money off of potting. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? But I do enjoy like putting funny bits on, like these clips, and you know, having interesting people share interesting things. But a lot of them don't have huge followings, and I know it's not going to get crazy views. Right. But it's I have to truly love it.
Right.
You know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Podcasting is so oversaturated, but like I don't want to. I feel like you know, your podcast UTI Us, like Suburb Talks, like we. I feel like we almost like. We showed like the Asian community, yeah, it's okay, like get a mic, hop on, share your stories. But now it's like so many of these little podcasts.
You guys got a good thing going. I mean, you guys, UTI, Suburb Talks, all of them, like all of you guys speak to a younger generation, you know what I'm saying? And I think that is important. I think it's big. It's something that I don't necessarily do too. It's like, which is good, like that we're hitting different pockets and corners, you know? I think you need a little bit of everything, even if it's not your type of shit, you know? Yeah. Like when Bling Empire came out, not everyone loved, you know, that show.
Right.
you know, like ratchet Asian people and stuff. Yeah, yeah. But it's like you need that, you know? Why does every other race get to have like a ratchet show and like we don't get to have one? So
I personally love Bling Empire.
Me too. I watch every single one of them.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, a lot of people do. You know, a lot of people love it. So I think we need everything. You know, there's tons of Asian content that I hate.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I don't rock with shit just because it's Asian.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
there's
yeah.
tons of Asian stuff.
Dude,
that,
yeah.
And I think we have to be very critical of art in our community too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like yeah, like it's nice that there's a person that looks like you that's doing something, but also like it could be cringe. You know,
yeah,
you gotta
yeah.
like put that cringe gate up. You know, you gotta be the gatekeeper from the walls of cringe. You know, and I think that's the next wave of this Asian Renaissance that we're getting to. It's like we're going to funnel it even more and let all the best stuff through.
Yeah. Ooh.
You know, so that's kind of the second wave of that.
Yeah.
But it's great, man. I can't complain. I've become less of a hater every year with my age. I was a master hater.
Like,
you
what
know?
would you hate on?
I was
like,
just everything.
What bugged
you? I was a battle rapper. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I was a hip hop purist. You know, I'm hating on this on the radio, that on the radio, and I was like, this is lame. You know, because as my brain, you know, my taste becomes more refined, I start appreciating so many different things. I finally get it like certain artists that I was like, this is not my thing, I'm like, oh no, actually now I get it. So like your mind just starts expanding. I think this generation has a way more they're way more open-minded about stuff. But
yeah,
also the line of like what's good and bad starts getting blurred.
Yeah, they're just kind of like, let's just do it.
Yeah, because we're all like, no, that is that bad or is that just different?
Yeah.
You know, like it's like when does shit get bad?
Right,
you know, like
right.
So I don't know. That part is confusing me too, because I be seeing a bunch of people into something, but and that I hate. But my first thing won't be like now, like, oh fuck these dudes. My thing is like, maybe I don't get it, you know?
Yeah,
yeah, that, you could doubt yourself.
Yeah, I'm like, no, is there something I'm missing? Like,
right,
so
right.
I think that's a good thing for me, though. It means I'm getting more open to it. I'm trying to understand what other people find in this that they love.
Mm-hmm.
So I am getting more open to it, yeah.
Mm.
Is there like a Asian artist or like rapper, whoever, that or director that you're like, I think this, I see a lot of potential. I see a lot of layers in what they're creating.
I love a bunch of different shows and things that are in the works, and also just on TV right now. Like Beef is like a show that I love.
Wow, that
shout out my boy Sonny. He's he's I think a genius.
Incredible.
And like that's one project that I love that's out there.
Yeah.
And I think like it's cool because they're doing it amazingly, where the references to Asian cultural stuff is very subtle.
Yeah,
it's so not beautiful. Like on the nose.
No.
Like the
know?
Rice cooker. I
yeah,
was like,
yeah,
yep.
But it's just like, you know, it's there. It's not like, here's the rice cooker.
Right.
You know, like
right,
it's, which
right.
is, which is, that's what makes it great.
That was such an amazing show.
Yeah.
The church scenes are so accurate too. That literally looks like all the Korean churches. Basketball out front.
I want to see. You know, I think a lot of the Asian content we're seeing in mainstream media, the most popular stuff is just Asian. It's like it's from out there.
So
I'd like to see cooler Asian American projects.
Right.
Yes.
And we need to see more of that. Obviously, there was like Everything Everywhere.
Yeah.
And that made a splash. But we need more things like that. That's weird.
Okay.
I agree.
Yeah. Well, for the next questions, I kind of wanted, because you've been talking to us for a little minute now, like an hour.
Yeah.
So I had like a couple of quick questions for you to kind of like categorize us real
sure.
quick.
Sure. Yeah.
So I just wanted to ask,
let's talk about y'all. Let's do it.
Who do you think looks the most like a Shecky out of all?
Why don't you explain what a Shecky is
like
to
you? Like a little troublemaker, a guy who just fools around too much.
That's what it is, right? Shecky just a shithead.
Between me and him, obviously,
I'm inclusive, you know.
Y'all could be Shecky's too.
You can include me.
Look at that way, though.
Yeah, you look at me.
She's wild over there. Be careful.
I will say, all of you guys, I think, have your guys' own wildness to you guys. But you two look like you guys are in the same genre of Shecky.
I love that.
Like, if there were subcategories of Shecky, you guys would be in the same group.
Yeah, I see it.
You know, y'all are like the Beavis and Butthead of Shecky's. No, y'all look fun, though. Y'all look fun.
Who do you think pulls more, me or him?
Ooh, pulls more. Damn, I don't know. He just got that chest tattoo, though. It didn't do much for me back in the day. We'll see if it does anything for you. Is that why you're wearing a wife beater?
Yeah. Had to show it a little bit.
I don't know, actually. That's a kind of a hard thing to say.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then I'll change questions. Out of us four, who looks the smartest and who looks the dumbest?
Damn.
Be honest. We've asked this to everybody, so
Smartest?
What am I looking at me?
No, I'm taking a plan.
No, we're not going to be offended by anything.
You guys all go to college?
Yes, we did. Okay. Do you want to hear the colleges
as
well?
No, you can't hear the college.
Can I hear you guys' major?
Okay. Psych?
I'm business.
Neuroscience.
Oh, graphic design.
Graphic design, okay.
No, I'm not saying
that. The artist. That doesn't make it.
That doesn't make her dumber just because she's like neuroscience and she's graphic design.
Right,
know what I'm saying?
Right.
And you're psych.
Psych, yeah.
Business.
Damn, this is a really tough one.
Right,
because
right.
It's like smartest, I'm going to say... For some reason, I'm going to say you or her.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I'll tell you the actual answer after.
Street smart. We got street smart, book smart.
Right.
You know?
Okay.
Yeah. Dumbest between me and her?
Between me and him.
I don't know.
You're thinking me, huh?
I am thinking you because it's mainly neuroscience
right here.
But I truly don't think any of you guys are stupid.
Yeah.
Real talk.
Okay.
Real talk.
Damn. So the smartest is over here.
I'm just trying to participate. Yeah. I don't want to be a neutral guy.
We
all hate one of those guys.
We hate
the neutral guy.
Actually, you came to my school.
Which school?
Hopkins. And I think you
came to Hopkins.
Awkwafina.
Yeah, we performed there.
Yeah,
right?
You guys performed there.
Damn, that was a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
This was like 7 years
ago.
Yeah,
when I was a freshman, I think.
That's crazy.
Wow. Damn.
Yeah, so long time ago. I remember seeing you in school.
I love performing at like smart schools. I'm like, that makes me smart, right?
Yeah.
Like, y'all are paying me money to perform at Yale and Harvard.
Yeah, yeah.
So technically, I'm smarter than y'all. I'm gaming you guys
for
money.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's how I
feel. She told me that like you pulled up to like some frat house and started freestyling.
Oh, yeah.
There you go. Freestyling again. You know, I think that's the high that I get about freestyling is like when people are impressed.
Oh, yeah.
For when I was young, that was my thing because I was like a kind of a nerdy Korean kid. Mm-hmm. You know, I was into like weird shit and weird bands and kind of like an artsy kid. Mm-hmm. You know, so I went and all the other K-Town kids were like a little bit more harder, like gangster, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah.
So I was a nerd, but I was rapping good, so I was like, this is what I should do to pull girls, like I should rap.
Yeah.
So I just honed in on that and I focused on that. Yeah.
Mm. Damn. okay. Well, I got one more of those questions real quick. Yeah. Who do you think could drink the most out of us four? Because we got some cereal drinkers in this cast right here.
Drink?
Yeah.
I feel like she could drink.
The most.
No, we can't give him reactions.
Okay. Let me rank.
Rank.
The most heavy drinkers.
Okay.
To the least.
I'm kind of, I would say one of you guys drink the most, I feel like.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then
I might go 1, 2, 3, 4.
Okay. Why would you say me first?
I don't know. I just felt like.
Well, you're not far off. No. That's definitely.
Yeah, she is definitely one. Probably number one.
You're number one?
Yeah. Oh, I got that right. Okay.
Yeah. You're probably two. Yeah, I'm not four, man. Come on now.
So you're the second best drinker.
Second or third. Second. I don't know.
And you're the third?
I might be last. Or me and her are probably similar.
You guys don't drink a lot?
Too often. Yeah.
Yeah, I think I was a tank, actually. But now I'm also getting a little older.
More of you're trying to be a brain surgeon, right?
not a surgeon, but neuroscientist.
You can't be having shaky hands.
Exactly. I gotta pass that test.
Yeah.
Well, I wanted to follow up and ask, what do you think about a girl who could drink like more than you? You go out with her?
I'm okay with that.
It's all good?
I've always, like, if there's one common thread of the type of girls that I like boss girls.
Mm. Oh, for real?
Yeah. Like, I feel like sometimes I need to be put in place, you know?
Yes.
And I don't mind that. Yeah. And I also want a girl to have their own lives happening.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I don't want her, like, our lives, like, the individual lives to be revolving around us. I don't like that, you know? Like, I like them having their own friends. I like having my own friends.
Both
do things together too, but they have to have their own things going. Like, I wouldn't ever want a girl to give up anything she's doing for me. Never. Like, I would hate that.
Okay.
You know, I know some people would love that, obviously, and that's fine. It's just different taste. But for me, I just would hate that. Like, it would eat at me.
Well, another thing I was going to say is, like, previously we've mentioned in a pod that, like, I forgot what I was going to say.
No, I'll just go.
Go ahead.
Because, you know, you're like off all like the alk and the drugs and stuff.
Yeah.
If you met a girl now and she's like still doing those kind of things, is that a deal breaker for you?
It's not a deal breaker, but I wouldn't want them just out of control with it.
Right. Yeah.
You know, like, you can drink and smoke or whatever, but I can't say, like, getting wasted is going to be a turn on for me. You know, and it's fine, but I just feel like it's tough. There's a little imbalance. Like, if we was getting fucked up together, then we might be on the same wavelength.
Oh, yeah.
But it is harder for me when I'm not on that wavelength right now.
Definitely.
Doesn't matter if your partner is like in the creative field.
No, I love that. I don't care. Like, you're saying I wouldn't be cool with that because I'm in the creative
field. Or would you prefer like someone who's more creative, more artsy,
like in the social media scene?
I have I don't know about the social media scene, but I have tend to date girls that were in the creative field. I've dated them, singers and artists and all of that. But I don't think I prefer it. I don't think I prefer it. Be nice to date like a librarian or something.
Or a secretary with red glasses.
red glasses. Like, what is this red glasses? Like,
I know, I'm like imagining.
Like, are they the secretary for the Ghostbusters? Or who is this? Yeah.
Oh my God.
But yeah, it's tough, you know, because I'm in my late 30s now. And like, that is a different area. Because I think for a long time, I just didn't live in a adult world.
Yeah.
You know, I grew up in a very youthful industry. And how do you navigate that as you get older and become an adult?
Right.
When you've been stuck in that. That's why you have a lot of adults, rappers that don't feel like adults when they're tweeting. And you know what I mean? They don't sound like adults. I think in the last few years is when I've kind of went through that journey. I felt like a big kid for a long time. And it wasn't something I was like proud of, you know? So it is something that now I feel more settled into. I loved going out all the time, and I was really my biggest addiction was probably that, going out, you know, more than alcohol or the drugs. My biggest addiction was just always having to go out, feeling like I'm missing something.
FOMO will eat you.
Yeah, for sure. But I can truly say I've like eliminated that.
Wow. Do you want to like settle down, like get married?
Not really. I mean, I just really don't think about it. Like, I don't, I don't seek that out. I wish it could just happen naturally, mm-hmm. you know, yeah. like a rom-com.
Yeah.
Like, hold that elevator. Oh, hey, I like your glasses, the red ones. You know, those, oh, you're a librarian. I wish it could happen like that, but obviously, I think these days you do kind of have to seek it out.
Mm. Really? Okay.
I mean, it seems like it because everything with dating apps seems like filtered.
True. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like you really have to seek it out. I think it is a rare occurrence. Like even just talking to a random girl in the elevator just seems like some shit you don't do nowadays.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know? Yeah. People are like, oh, like, what are you trying to do? Yeah.
What the fuck? We're in a confined space right now.
Exactly.
Are you crazy? Yeah. So I do think that's tough. You know, like, oh, can I buy you a drink? Like, when's the last time you heard that shit?
Yeah.
That sounds like some old shit, doesn't it?
That's true. Dead. I don't think I've ever heard somebody say, can I buy you a drink?
Has that happened to you guys? Does that happen in this generation?
I feel like I still ask that.
You
like,
do?
Yeah.
Okay.
If I go to bars.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it depends, bars, like a club and a bar. I'll ask that for sure.
Are you guys all single or what?
Oh, I'm the only single one.
Oh, and you guys are all in relationships.
Yeah.
When was your last relationship?
Almost 2 years now.
2 years. Okay, that's a long time of just single life, which is great, though.
I'll call her out even more.
Nah, well, I've been single, I would say, most of my life, you know? And it's made me focus, obviously, in my craft and fall in love with my work. But also, I've been on some fuckboy shit, too, you know? Right, it's like, I don't know. It depends on what kind of life you want, you know. Because sometimes I do want a girl that could enhance also everything I'm doing in my life, right? Like my Michelle Obama. You got to get a Michelle Obama sometimes, you know. Mm-hmm. But I am afraid to sometimes to get, you know, I don't know. I don't know what I'm looking for. It's like kids. People talk about kids because at my age, it's like, obviously, a lot of people have kids. Like, all my friends have kids that are like 10 years old.
Wow.
You know? Like, I'm the last motherfucker with kids, bro. Yeah. So, I don't know. Like, kids is a tricky thing. I have homegirls my age that really want kids.
Mm.
You know, so.
Why is that a tricky thing for you?
Because of kids, too. I kind of just want that to happen.
What do you mean?
That sounds crazy. Like
the pelican drops the little baby at your door.
Well, because there's so many steps, right? Like for me to have a kid, like I have to have a girlfriend first and foremost, and then I have to be with them for a long time, move in, and I'm so far even from the girlfriend part. Like
you have to have sex with them, like all of it.
Yeah, you know, I know this sounds like a rom-com thing too. It's like, oh, we had a crazy one night stand. I got her pregnant, but she's cool. We should keep it. Yeah. You know, like we've seen that rom com. Yeah. You know what I mean? That would be fire. If there was an amazing woman, and we had an amazing night, and I got her pregnant, and she just happens to be the one.
Yeah.
That'd be amazing. Because at my age, if I got a girl pregnant, it's kind of like, it's not like a surprise. If I got a girl pregnant and I was like 18, I'd be like, oh my God, my life is ahead of me.
Yeah, yeah.
My life is here. Like we're already ahead. We're at where the ahead is. So it'd be cool, but the process of it is tough. I have a lot of things I got to work out internally in myself, I think, before I could have that. But you're never ready for it, right?
Yeah. And I think as a guy, you're kind of fine. Like, for girls, we have to have kids, like, a lot earlier, you know? So it's not that big. Like, we have kind of a timeline.
Biologically.
Biologically. But I think also, now that, like, you've, like, grown into, like, this new lifestyle in a way, like, a new vision of things, I think you're going to appreciate the process of everything.
it could happen quicker, too. Like, if I get a girlfriend or something.
Yeah.
You know, you kind of, I guess you're... What happens is you get older and you kind of know exactly what you want, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
But are your standards?
I don't know why I'm asking y'all. Some early 20s motherfuckers. Tell me about life, please.
No, because I feel like there's no more bullshit. like for me, like I'm still out here playing games. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yo, girl's not gonna like that one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So you're like, playing games yeah. with the girls.
Yeah, you know.
What
you
gotta, do you mean? Like, give me an example. Pull, you know, push and pull.
You gotta like not text them. So they miss
you.
So you'll get a text and just be like,
I'll leave it. You know, make her.
From your girlfriend.
Yeah. No, I'm saying like this is just how guys my age like kind of get girls, right?
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Because you want your options too.
Yeah, yeah, they make that issue.
And then you don't respond to a girl, and then later on when you don't have options, you're like, oh, my bad, I was like traveling or something, and you respond, yeah, them fuckboy games.
How do you think the game has changed?
With just girls and dudes and stuff like that? Yeah. I don't know. Like
from when you were at your like peak fame.
I can't say, because I don't like necessarily like hang out with like early 20s people. So I don't know what you guys' game is, and maybe you guys can fill me in here, because it'd be interesting to hear that. But I don't know. For me, I guess it's it was a different experience for me too, because I was kind of a public figure in my 20s. So I was out and about. That was like the time where I was like, oh, maybe I should holler at Asian girls. Because when I was a teenager, I had a girlfriend that was like Latina for a long time and stuff. And I think once I started battle rapping is when I was like, oh, Asian girls like are fucking with me. I should go out. Let me try this thing out for a minute. You know? Yeah. And so I did do that. And hang out outside, go to functions, but it was cool. I realized like at the time, because I was a public figure, there was a little bit of more of an entry. Mm-hmm. Like someone might notice me and then I'd be like, oh, she's cute, and I just start talking to her her being like, oh, Duffin, I've seen your thing or whatever, you know. And so there was an entry point. And so I think I had this kind of delusion in my head, like, oh, it's easy.
I got game.
Like, it's easy.
Yeah.
Right,
yes, right.
And then when things started slowing down, even in my relevancy of who I am and shit, I was like, oh, I had no game. I had no game. It was because they kind of knew who I was. And I had like an entry into a conversation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it was really sad for a while. that was a dry era.
You got game, bro. Yeah, come on now. You got game.
Cool. I mean, I think, you know, being funny and being able to spark a conversation is so important having it. But it's hard for me to start it, like the just cold call. You know what I mean? I usually have to have like the crazy homie who just like and then I step in like, oh, excuse my silly friend. Excuse my silly friend.
What's your name?
You know, I need the one wild homie to work the room and shit. I'm usually not the... If I see a cute girl across like the room, it really I have to muster up the most courage to go up to them. And now there's no alcohol, I'm not even drinking anymore. I'm doing jumping jacks and shit. Like, let's go. it's tough.
Damn, bro. I see that. So you're like, you struggle with the intro.
The intro is tough for me. The cold call.
Cold call.
I see.
I was gonna say, do you think your career trajectory would have been different if you had a woman by your side? Like, because I feel like a lot of people say of like it's hard to, you know, keep growing.
That is a very good question. You know, sometimes I think that because you see some of the top rappers like Wayne and Doug and shit, and they got like 8 kids. I'm like, if you got 8 kids, you got to stay recording. You know,
you got no break.
You better make album after album.
Yeah.
So I'm like, damn, if I had a kid and a family, I wonder if that would push me more.
No,
interesting.
I'm out here being single, moving around in my own pace, you know? Like, so I do think maybe it does something.
Really?
When you think more outside of yourself and your world becomes bigger than you, I think you do have to work harder.
You have more purpose, right?
Or you better love yourself. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which that's something also I've dealt with, a lot of people are dealing with too, you know, like really loving yourself to take care of yourself.
Yeah.
You know, because that's why people don't care about their health or their substance abuse and all that, because they're dealing with issues with themselves, you know? So, I think that does help when there's a partner, somebody that shows you who you are and that you should love yourself. And I don't know. Yeah, but still haven't found that. You know?
It's okay. I haven't found it either.
It's coming. It's coming.
I got great homies. The homies are important. You know?
Yeah, no, for sure.
Strong homies. But you can't fuck your homies. Some do. And it's all you. Go ahead. Yeah. Okay. If you could fuck your homies.
Yeah.
that like that, that well, we've all been thriving. I know. I'm just saying. I'm just saying. You wouldn't be a shithead out and about. Oh, yeah. You know, we could get all the projects done. No procrastination. That's the goal.
No
go do it. Go fuck your homies. Dude, see where your career goes. Homies, no I promise
married,
you,
bro.
Yeah. Married, fuck bro. Your group chat. You know.
Don't fuck your group chat.
Yeah. That's the takeaway.
For sure.
I'm just saying, you were like, I'm broke. There's a solution for that. There's a support system right there under your nose.
Right next to you.
Oh, hell no.
Because that's the thing. Like, sex dilutes your mental and your vision.
It does.
You know, that's why they always say, like rub one off before you go into a meeting. You know,
get out. Post-nut clarity.
Yeah, post-nut clarity, right? Yeah. So, like, ooh. Get that out of your system. Mm. You know what I'm saying? So, if you didn't have that, dude, this would be a fucking euphoric world that we live in, you know?
Yeah.
So you're saying, like, having a... Honestly, I feel that, too. Like, having a girlfriend almost makes you, like, comfortable. Makes you, like...
Not comfortable, just having a partner, you know?
Yeah.
You know, having a partner that you can deal with everything. Even sex, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's something you can do with a partner that's your girlfriend who's also your homie. Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know, that's the best thing. When your partner is more than just your girlfriend and everything what a typical girlfriend comes with. Yeah. They really have to be your homie.
For real.
No, I was talking about it more in the sense of, like, when you get a girl, you kind of lose your drive in other aspects of your life. You know what I mean?
That could happen, too. Yeah. Like, you see, I was like you. I could already tell where your head's at. You know what I'm saying? The tape just bringing you down, man.
Yeah, exactly.
I had a lot of homies, and including myself, where when we had a girlfriend, a lot of the homies tended to hate. Because I think they felt like they were kind of losing their homie a little bit.
Yeah.
And this happens, right?
Yeah.
And everything. But you realize, oh, yeah, she's cool. She's all of a sudden, because of her, he's, like, doing better.
Right.
And you can't be mad about that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I feel like even, like, the lingo, at least maybe, like, in the mid-20s age where I'm at, I feel like the lingo changed. Because a lot of my friends don't call their boyfriends anymore. We call them our partners.
Interesting.
Mm. Yeah, like, I feel like in the mid-20s, we are, like, starting to, like, lose the stereotypical what a girlfriend should do or a boyfriend should do. It's like we're in a partnership.
I like that. But if you're going to call yourself call each other a partner, mm-hmm. like, you guys better have something that you represent
together as
partners.
Right.
100%. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, like, lawyers call themselves partners. Like, what the fuck y'all doing? You got grabbing boba together? Yeah. Like, that's you guys are boba partners? What the fuck are y'all doing? Like, have something that you guys are working towards together. It doesn't have to be a business or something, but a goal, an emotional goal for yourselves, or some maturity goal for yourselves.
Right.
Like, not just we're Grove partners. We go
to
the Grove together. You know, like, what kind of partnership is this, you know? Yeah.
Damn, bro. I remembered what I was going to say earlier. So I was going to say that we say on our podcast that long distance relationships not for us, right? So I wanted to ask, like, at your age, do you care about that? Like, if a girl was on the East Coast,
long distance?
Yeah. You think you could work that out?
I dated somebody in Korea.
Wow.
When she was living in Korea, I was living in LA, and I kind of liked it for most part because I don't know. We, like, ended up missing each other more. And then we would still put aside time every, you know, month or two to see maybe 2 months or something. But it gets hard if you're really trying to build towards something long term.
Facts.
But I also think it's important to spend, like, a lot of time with a partner at first just to really see what they're about.
Yeah. Mm.
You know, if you're only seeing them every 2 months, you're not seeing all sides of them.
Yeah, bro. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You get the good parts.
Not only the good parts.
Yeah. For sure. But I think it could work, right?
Okay.
We got Zoom.
Yeah.
Right?
I don't know. We need that suit you were talking about earlier. We need that suit, bro.
Yeah,
I'm going to be at home like this.
Yeah. Zoom. Yeah, I mean, the FaceTime stuff. And have you guys done long distance?
He did.
It's tough.
No. Would you say that distance, like, was ultimately the reason why you guys split?
Ultimately, I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. I just felt like I left too much time in between for myself to not be excited no more about us.
Yeah.
You know, there has to be excitement.
For sure.
I think that's the part about, like, intimacy and physical touch and all that stuff, right?
Yeah.
Like, Zoom, you can get, like, spicy on Zoom and FaceTime, too.
Nah, you cannot.
Nah, you can try. like on Facebook.
The background is somewhere else.
Like on FaceTime, you know, I'm sure so many couples get spicy on there and all that shit, but it does get a little bit tired after a while. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Zoom is crazy though. Zoom is.
I want to know like what your dating style is.
My dating style.
Are you like clingy?
What type of boyfriend are you?
Damn, it's been so long. It's been so long. Can I pull up a vlog or something? Like, I don't even know where I would. It's been a long time. I'm definitely not clingy. I am not clingy. If anything, that was the biggest complaint. Like, be a little clingy, motherfucker. I just felt like, I don't know. I was very, you know, not insecure. I wanted her to go do her thing.
Well, not the jealous type.
I'm not the jealous type at all, you know. But maybe I could turn that up a notch.
Want that.
You know,
want
that. A little bit like makes it better.
That part, I think, is something that I would get now. I think I made a decision now that any relationship I get into, I am going to let myself go. And really fall into it.
That's beautiful.
I made that decision. Yeah. Like, I think I was very closed off and I just didn't open myself up. But I'm going to go for it. Like, if there's that right person, mm-hmm. I'm going to just say it, say I love you, that kind of stuff. Right. Yeah. I couldn't even say it right there. I was like, ugh. They almost threw up right there. It was crazy. Shit, I don't know what I ate. It was like a burp that just some gas or something.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I got to open myself up a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know, I've been saying this for years about therapy, but I still haven't. Any of you guys go to therapy?
I do.
You do?
I do, yeah.
You seem the most level-headed.
I feel like I should go to therapy.
Yeah.
Try it out. It's definitely, I think more of why it's harder for me, it's like, I get there and I'm like, there's people going through way worse stuff. Like, why am I sitting down talking about this? That's how I feel, you know?
Nah, you can't think like that.
I know,
though.
You can't think
like that. It's like a maintenance almost. Mental. Yeah. It's like a mental gym.
Yeah. What if you think that and your therapist is like, no, you're the worst one.
Yeah.
Honestly, maybe.
Yeah, you're the most fucked up client I have, actually. I feel that, but nah, you got to do it for yourself.
Have you gone to therapy?
I haven't, and that's the thing. I really need to. It's a conversation I've been having for a long time. Yes, I really have no excuses.
I've heard it so in other podcasts.
I know. It's so bad. It's so bad because at this point, I'm just like an advocate for therapy without having gone to one session.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
Wait, what's stopping you from the first session?
I got to just do it. I did do an audit. Like, I audited one therapist just to see her, what she's about. But didn't get much out of it. I should have just kept going to find the right one.
Yeah, it's like shopping. Yeah, it's like an app for therapists. Hinge app for therapists.
I think they got that, actually.
Oh, do they?
Yeah, I think they've sponsored me one point.
I totally didn't
use their services. But it's like going to the doctor, right? Like, we tend to not go on checkups and stuff.
Yeah.
Especially in the Asian community, they really put that shit aside. You know?
Yeah, well, I want to go back to my question I was asking before. Sure. What's your love language?
My love language. Mm-hmm. What is it?
I don't even know. I'm shit. Words of affirmation.
These motherfuckers. Like, they are Sheckies for sure. Right? Love language. I'm trying to get English right. Fuck.
They gonna start asking about blood type and shit. Just watch, bro.
Myers-Briggs.
No, Steffi's super into horoscopes and all that too.
Okay, okay.
I'm mad at it. It's fine. People have their thing.
Yeah.
I like people with open minds.
Sure. Yeah. So, love language. I'm
physical touch, words of affirmation, quality time, gifts,
acts of service.
Ooh, like what I feel.
What do you like to do to them, and what do you want people to perceive to you?
I like gift giving.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think it's also a good and a bad thing because I feel like it's my way of compensating for when I'm missing a lot.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And
it's an apology gift.
Yeah, it's not even an apology, but I just like instead of being present, like here's a present. I guess
it's like Asian mom giving you a bowl of fruit.
Sorry. Yeah. I didn't want to do that. But I did. Yeah. But I am good with gifts. I'm creative with gifts. I don't just do like a gift card or shit. I'll get like a painting commissioned or something.
Wow.
You know, I used to write songs for girls. I like no subliminals. I'm putting their full middle name and shit in the song. So that, and as far as me receiving, I don't know. Like, it's definitely not gift receiving. I don't care for that at all. What were the other ones? The
words of affirmation. That's kind of like praise, like saying like, oh, I love you, I love you, I love you, lots of praise kind of. And then
quality time,
just hanging out a lot of time, touching each other, or
physical touch or acts of service.
Acts of service. Oh. So like doing the laundry for you, cooking for you.
No, I do like, I think words of affirmation is nice, but I don't feel comfortable with it. Like as soon as they start saying stuff, I'm like, ah, nah, nah, you know what I mean? Like, I shoo it away a lot. Okay, so I don't know what that says about me. Don't analyze me. Hey, psych major, what's going on in my head?
Shit, let me talk. No.
Wait, what are you trying to be with the psych?
Actually, I'm trying to get into physical therapy. It's like kind of unrelated, but
Cool. Therapy. So doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's great though. Yeah.
But moving past this whole like dating conversation, I wanted to ask you something I was genuinely curious about, because I know back in the day you were really close with Anderson Paak, weren't you?
Yeah, yeah, we're good. We're best friends.
Yeah, you guys are super tight, right? So how do you feel about all the success with Silk Sonic and everything? Like
amazing. I mean, we toured together early days. You know, seen him from the bottom to where he's at, and he truly is. I consider to him he's my best friend, but he's also, I think, one of the greatest musicians of our time.
Super talented,
in my opinion.
Yeah,
like if you see his live show, he is one of the greatest live performers on the planet right now. But it's great. We've really come up together. You know what I mean? Like we had nothing, and now we're able to have conversations with legit players in TV and film and music. And I'm very proud of everything he's done. And he rocks with all his day ones. His whole band, Free Nationals, we were all roommates together.
We all
came up together. Yeah. So and his photographer, his assistants, like everybody he rocks with are day ones. And I don't know how he does it.
Yeah,
you know, because I've cut out day ones. But he's just like, he's somehow able to work with friends and bring out the best out of everyone.
Damn.
You know?
Yeah. Did you ever teach him some of that Korean? He's busting out Korean and shit.
He knows Korean in general because he's around
his wife, no?
Yeah, ex-wife now. Oh, but she's full Korean.
She's
like from Korea.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So he's had a lot of Koreans around him. Obviously me as a friend, and then his wife, and his kid is Blasian, but growing up way more Korean.
Oh, really?
Damn. So that movie we're working on, it's called K-Pop. Uh-huh. It's coming out later this year. I produced it. Anderson directed it.
That's huge.
I'm in it with Anderson, and his real son is in it.
Oh, no way.
So they play father and son in the movie, too.
Damn.
Amazing.
It's like Pursuit of Happiness meets School of Rock.
Wow, that is the best.
So that's how I would describe the movie. We're excited. That's our first ever like film project together.
Yeah.
We're excited for people to see it, because it's like one of the first projects I haven't seen too many projects in the media where it's like a blend of Black and Asian culture. This does it so well.
That's amazing, though. I just can't imagine seeing one of my boys or like together all collectively just going up together. That's amazing.
You'll see it, man.
Hopefully.
It's natural. You know what I mean? Like, it's like if you guys all have a similar vision, it's just natural that it's going to happen.
Yeah.
You know?
That's amazing, man. I got all my questions good.
No, it seems like we're wrapping up. But before we wrap up, though, I have to ask you.
Sure. Okay.
All right. I made this song.
A rap song?
I made a rap song. It's on some joke shit though.
Okay.
All right? And I just want to play you the hook.
I'm down.
And so just tell me.
This is exciting.
I'm gonna rap something.
Oh, no, I'm not gonna rap something. I made a song like a vlog. Huh? No, I just played a song.
Oh, there's a video too.
Hey, a little music video.
Damn.
All right, it's on some joke shit, but tell me if I got some potential, though.
Okay.
All right.
This is exciting, man.
I
will say, you already have a big part, like the confidence is already there.
Thank you.
Because you're willing to play it. Not just for me, but like all the people watching.
Oh, yeah, they heard it before.
Half the battle, man. You know?
Yeah, true.
All right, but just keep in mind, first time rapping and shit.
Okay.
That's crazy, bro. I never expected this.
We out here music.
What music?
Nine for nine. It's my first time rapping this shit, but this is how I be coming in. Moving through the streets, sleeping with a free toe. Busting through the line. Rapping like I'm thug, got me dining with a Rico. Put my thumb in a bud, in her asshole. I be coming with the bankroll. Put that bag away, I'm in a K-hole.
And that's the homie right there. That's the homie.
Damn, it was like, it was like 8 bars or something.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Something like, something
I don't
like.
Know how it was only 8 bars, but there was asshole, k-hole. A lot of raunchy shit in them 8 bars.
Hey, they call me a lyricist.
Thumb in the asshole. Put the bag away. What is it?
I don't. I'm in a K-hole.
I'm in a K-hole.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
That took me hours to write too, man.
That was an explicit short amount of time, bro. Like, you sounded good though.
Thank you.
I will say, thank like, you, it didn't you. Sound like your first time. Let's just say that.
Okay, ooh, okay,
that's
okay.
A big compliment. Yeah.
Even though you told the world it was your first time. Yeah. Right? Let me start. Yeah, it's my first time, y'all. You try to play it safe so no one can roast you. It's like, it's my first time. Keep in mind. Let's go. Nah, it was great. It was great.
Thank you, thank you. I'm not actually trying to be a rapper. I just, you know, I'm just testing things
out. Nah, have fun, man. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. You don't got to do something and planning for it to be your life.
Yeah.
You know, I got all types of hobbies, you know, that I'm not going to, like, make it my career, you know, so. Your thing.
Nah, I appreciate
put
you,
the
man.
Finger in the butthole, whatever.
Nah, you a rap legend, man. I had to play it for you, man.
Oh, much love. Yeah, much love.
You gotta insert that little clip of him saying the bar, insert it into the song and featuring the
was that your plan? You got me. You got me. Shit. All
the
right.
Remix. The remix. Summer.
Yeah.
That's hilarious. But thank you so much for coming
yeah,
on.
Thank yeah. you guys.
Yeah.
Appreciate
yeah, I'm excited. I think we're going to hop on next week on your podcast. Yep. Yes. With Dumb.
Stay tuned for that, man.
Yep. I'm excited for that as well.
Anything you want to shout out? Anything
Any
new?
Projects that you have upcoming?
Yeah, yeah. April 12th, Sweet Dreams.
Sweet Dreams.
That's the movie with Johnny Knoxville and your favorites, D.O. Vaughn, Bobby Lee, some of the, you know, Mount Rushmores of podcasting, you know.
Yeah.
Those guys. April 12th, you know, it's all selected theaters, so make sure you go support. The more you support, the more theaters we get into.
Wow,
you
okay.
know. And K-Pops with Anderson .Paak, that's coming out later this year. Really dope movie, too. And come out to one of the shows. You know?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm there. Yeah. I'm there.
Dude, all right. Both those movies, I'm going the day it comes out. I'm not even lying.
Oh, thank you, amazing. I appreciate it. Get the OC out there. You
yeah,
know?
Yeah, of course.
All right,
yeah.
Make sure you guys go follow Dumb Founded. Yep, go follow Fun with Dumb.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
All right, big shout out to him for coming on.
Mm-hmm.
We're the 9 for 9 Podcast, baby. Peace out.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.